Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. Sit back, relax, and let God breathe the Spirit that gives all good gifts through you. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, especially if you're here for the very first time or you've just begun attending recently. We want to express our hope that you'll become a part of our family of faith here. Now, there are lots of ways to do that. You can look through our bulletin insert and get involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. That's one way. You can join a small group, attend a Sunday school class, but we would love it if you would become a part of our community here. I'm going to list a few ways that you might want to do that. First of all, with new staff coming, it's going to be so much more important that you have your name tags and wear your name tags. If you have a name tag, please wear it. This will help Carol and Brandon immensely when they come to connect your faces and your names. But if you don't have one, there's a table in Reed Hall where you can sign up to get your name tag so that it'll be waiting for you when they get here. Another thing you can do is that you can go online and sign up for your picture being taken, your photograph, for the pictorial directory. This is another really helpful tool for congregation members and for staff, because you had a pictorial directory made about the time that I arrived. It was incredibly helpful. Please, let me encourage you, everyone, if it's at all possible, get your photograph made. It's a huge help for the clergy, but also for everybody else. Also, want to extend an invitation to you to join other folks from West End in sharing the loving light of Christ at the Nashville Pride Festival this next Saturday and Sunday. That's June 24th and 25th in Public Square Park downtown. We will have a booth there. You're welcome to sign up to talk to people at the booth if you would like. We will have a church group in the Equality Walk, and you're welcome to be a part of that or to do both of those. If you have an interest in walking, you can just show up, of course. But if you have an interest in staffing the booth, please call Brian Robertson. You can find his information, his contact information, in your bulletin insert. Also, another volunteer opportunity, our Vacation Bible School Week and Older Elementary Mission Week are coming up, not this coming week, but the following week. We still need one bus driver for Wednesday the 28th for the Older Elementary Mission Week team. So if you think you can do that, please be in touch with Becky Peeler and let her know that. Also, we have our Tizay service this evening at 5 p.m. If your life is as noisy and as hectic as mine, sometimes you just yearn for a time of music and quiet and prayer. That's what Tizay is. It's a time when you can simply bask in the presence and love of God through music, through silence, through quiet prayer, through scripture. And if you haven't tried, let me urge you to do so. It's 5 p.m. this afternoon here in the sanctuary. Did you ever belong to a group that was kind of the gifted kids, the gifted group? You know, I mean, we're all pretty privileged here, aren't we? So a lot of times we're in the gifted group. Have you ever been a part of the not-so-gifted group, either in school or in life? The ones that others may not look upon with great delight? Well, I got good news for you. Actually, it's St. Paul who has the good news, so stick around.
Thank you. our hearts are on fire this day. Lord, we come here to be empowered to serve you. Praise to God who has brought to us the Holy Spirit. When we feel that we aren't even worthy to approach God, the Spirit goes before us. God welcomes us with open arms. Let us confess our sin together. God of amazing love and unexpected grace, open our eyes that we may see you, especially in those times when we feel abandoned by you. Forgive us that we so easily allow circumstance to blind us to your presence. Forgive us that we too frequently mistrust your power. Fill our hearts that we may become like you, especially when your message needs to be heard. Touch our lives that we may know you, especially in those times when we feel unable to cope. The Spirit of God gives us comfort and hope. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Thank you. great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, James Eckner and Patricia Scott bring their daughter and son, Lyndon, Pauline, and James Howard, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. And now, Patricia and James, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Now will you nurture these children in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, profess their faith openly, and lead a Christian life? And now Patricia is uniting with our church this morning, and so I have two additional questions for her. Patricia, as a member of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? As a member of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? And now, congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If you do, please say, "We do."
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this family now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that they might grow into service to others. They may be a true disciple who walks in the way.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and these children who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their life, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you in the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Amen. Okay, would you step up here? Lyndon, Pauline, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You want me to lay hands on her if you want? The Holy Spirit work within you that being born by water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen.
Amen. Touch the water first. I don't even want to do that. You can touch it. What name is given this child?
James Howard.
James Howard, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. You want to touch it again?
We're already remembering our baptism.
He likes that. Good, good.
May the Holy Spirit work within you, that you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all of your days. Amen.
Amen. Wish everybody was as excited about their baptism.
He's been looking forward to this.
Beautiful. Now you get to go out in the congregation.
Will the congregation please stand and face this family? It is our joy to welcome our new sister and brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend you, Lyndon, Pauline, and James Howard, to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Lyndon, Pauline, and James Howard. And we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you,
let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from Paul's epistle to the Corinthians. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are activated by the one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Please be seated, and if there are other youngsters who'd care to join us, you can come on down. If you would like to bring a parent or a grandparent or a friend, if that makes you feel a little better about coming down, that is perfectly all right. When I was in first grade, my parents and I moved all the way from Tennessee across the entire country, almost, to Arizona. Now, it was a big change for me, and I had a hard time in that first grade. My first grade teacher in Tennessee was kind of like a grandmother in some ways. She was an older lady. She was very sweet. She just loved us all. And in those, in that classroom, she had two groups of people, students, who were readers. They were the Bluebirds and the Redbirds. One of the groups could read pretty well, and the other group struggled with reading and hadn't quite learned it yet. Now, I think she chose Bluebirds and Redbirds so she wouldn't be putting down or making fun of or judging the ones who couldn't read so well, but we knew which ones were which, believe me, even so. But she was trying her best to include everybody and make us all feel at home. Well, when I got to Arizona, I had a very different teacher who already had her favorites picked out, and we knew who was in and who was out, and I was out. I almost failed the first grade. Came very close to failing the first grade. Now, my second year in second grade, when I barely made it through, my teacher was wonderful. She had just graduated from the University of Arizona. She was young and energetic and excited and loved all of us. And she saw some things in me that my parents hadn't seen, that nobody else had seen. And she had me tested to see if I was gifted and maybe send me off to a school for gifted students. Well, I didn't go. But after that, I didn't know if I was a failure or if I was gifted. You know? And the truth is, we're kind of both, right? We all have gifts and we do things really well, but when you're learning to ride a bicycle, you don't learn immediately. At least I didn't. You fall over a few times. We all fail when we're learning something. When we're learning to walk, like some of these little ones, we fall down all the time. I still fall down all the time. I'm kind of clumsy. But St. Paul says that in the church, there are no failures. Everybody's gifted. You may just be learning how to live into your gift, but every single one of you has a gift that God has given you. And you may know what that is, or you may not know that yet. You may, as you grow up, learn that you have a number of different gifts that God has given you. But they're all to be shared with everybody so everybody can benefit. Everybody out there is gifted. Everyone in the church has a gift from God. And so what we are supposed to do is help you learn how to use that. Right? And that's what we're going to try to do. Now I'm going to talk a little more about those gifts from God and how St. Paul talked about them. And when I do, you will understand what I'm talking about, won't you? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us gifts. Thank you for helping to use those gifts for others. Thank you that your love is the greatest gift of all, and that we want to be your loving light in the world, following the example that you gave us in Jesus. Amen. Thank you all for coming down. Paul is writing to a very cosmopolitan community in Corinth. It's a very diverse community. You have people from all over the world. You have people who formerly were Jews. You have people who formerly were Gentiles. I say formerly because, as you recall, Paul said, in Christ there are no Jews nor Gentiles, male nor female, slave nor free. He was inviting them into a community that was diverse, but in which everyone was the same or equal because of God's love for each of us. Now, that was not the way the world was around them. And unfortunately, the folks in Corinth kind of picked up those values from the world around them. And certain people in the church at Corinth who had certain spiritual gifts decided that those gifts made them superior to the other people who did not have those particular spiritual gifts. And so they started to create hierarchies of gifts. You know, my gift's better than your gift, and so I'm more important than you are. And so Paul is writing this letter into that kind of situation to remind folks that everyone is gifted. There are no distinctions, Jew, Greek, male, female, slave, free. Those have been erased by the love of God in Jesus Christ. And so we no longer live by those standards of the outside. Jesus did not come to make us feel superior to anyone else. We are gifted by the Spirit with certain gifts that then we are encouraged and allowed to use. And he uses, I'm not sure if he borrows this from the rhetoric around him or if he does this himself, creates it himself, but he uses what I think is just a moment of genius when he says, it's like a body. This body of Christ is like a body. Now, you as an eye may think you're more important, but you try to pick up a pencil with your eye. You as a finger may think you're more important, but you try to see with a finger. If you're an eye, you're no more important than the finger. If you're a finger, you're no more important than the eye because each one depends on all the rest. The image of the body is a stroke of genius because every part depends on every other part in order to function the way it's supposed to function. And we who are getting up in years realize that every morning when we get up, don't we? Every part depends on every other part, and some of those parts are going to be hurting when you first get up and may hurt all day. And we recognize the importance of everything working together. That's the image that Paul is using to talk about how we work together, how everyone is welcomed, everyone is given a gift, and then our job is to figure out what that gift is and how to use it. In fact, in our welcome statement, we really just restate what Paul was saying. And I know you see it every week, but I'm going to read it to you because when you see something every week, sometimes you don't actually see it. You're so used to it. But it says this, everyone is welcome at West End. We seek to be the loving light of Christ in Nashville and beyond. We gather as the people of God with a wide range of religious backgrounds, education levels, political and theological perspectives, and we value that diversity. We welcome and celebrate the gifts God has given to all, without regard to gender, race, sexual orientation, economic or family status, ethnicity, or mental or physical capacity. We believe God loves everyone unconditionally. We believe that, not because we are so deserving of love, we're not, but because love is the very nature of God. God cannot help but love. It's who God is. And so, as we say this, we're simply restating what Paul was saying. In the world, Jews may think they're superior to Gentiles, and Gentiles may think they're superior to Jews, and men may think they're superior to women, and masters may think they're superior to slaves, but in the church, that is not the case. We are the gifted class. We welcome all and help identify those gifts. In fact, that's actually our primary job. We receive everyone exactly where they are. Doesn't matter whether you've been in church all your life or have never darkened the door of a church. Does not matter your background, your language of origin, any of those things I mentioned previously, you are welcomed because God's love is what welcomes you in this place. But You are welcome just as you are, but then you are confronted with the gospel. The gospel that says all of those distinctions that we make out in the world don't apply here. All of those superiorities and inferiorities that we see acted out in the world don't apply here. This is a new kind of community. It's a community built upon the love of God and the gifts of God, and every single person who comes is gifted. You are here because God knew that we knew needed your gift. You may not even know what that is yet, but God knew that we needed your gift to be a whole body of Christ. And so our job as a church is to welcome everyone where they are, but not to leave them where they are, but confronted with the gospel to allow the love of God and the Spirit to transform us as individual and our lives together. We are here to help name and affirm those gifts that each person has. Now, your gift may be related to what you do for a living, but frequently it's not. You may be an attorney who really has a gift for serving. You may be a teacher who has a lot of knowledge, spend your days imparting that knowledge, but you may have a gift for sitting quietly and listening and making space for someone to come in and to tell you the deep truths of their lives. We don't often listen to each other in this culture, not really. We haphazardly listen, or we listen only to think about what we're going to say next, or we're listening only to make our argument in relation to what that person is saying. But true listening is simply making a space for another in our lives for them to be. That's a spiritual gift. And so our job here in church, once God sends you to us, is to help you identify that spiritual gift and then to cultivate that. For example, the folks in the choir may be gifted at music, but they also come and they rehearse to cultivate that gift. Some may be professional musicians, but many are not. This is a spiritual gift they share and work hard to cultivate, so that we all can benefit and take that inspiration out into the world. I was about 25 years old when I took a class in graduate school from a woman named Barbara McDermott. In this class, almost in passing, Barbara said to me, "You know you're a storyteller, don't you?" I'd never thought about it. That's just the way my family talked. But once she identified that, that stuck with me, and I began to try to work at and cultivate those skills that went along with her naming that gift. And I've spent the rest of my life doing that. To be able to see each other and see the gifts in another person's life and to name that, and then give them a place where they can let that gift grow, where we can live into it, and frankly, we're going to fail a lot along the way. But this is a place where it's safe to do that. Because you see, God's love does not depend on our succeeding. God's love depends on the very nature of God. Probably the best example I can think of recently of someone who has experienced that in a church setting is West End member and our dear friend and our staff member, Marty Gilbert, who died this past week. Way too young. Marty began coming to West End because of what was a very modest gift to the feeding program at West Nashville United Methodist Church. He was involved in the Thursday evening program where folks who would not otherwise have a meal, folks who did not have a house to live in or a place to stay, could come and get a meal. They were struggling with that financially because we are a large and prosperous church. We were able to help out. And like I say, it was a very modest gift. But he was so impressed that a large, beautiful, affluent church like us would reach out to support the connection on Charlotte Avenue to make sure people who otherwise would go without were fed, that he began to attend here. And he began to hear the gospel. He was confronted. We accepted Marty just the way he was, but he was confronted with the gospel of God's love for everyone, and he took that in. He took that to heart. He thought that meant him, and you know what? It did. So he began to volunteer. He really found his way into the church on the fourth floor here in the four-story theater, where he became involved. He had been trained as an audio engineer. He had worked the CMA and lots of other big events. He had worked for years and years and years in those large venues, and he decided he wanted to help Kirk and all those other folks who were creating the four-story theater to make it as good as it could possibly be. At one point, one of his former employers from CMT said to him, "We've got all this equipment. It's in storage. We don't want to pay the storage fees. We're going to throw it out. Do you know anybody who could use it?" He happened to know someone who could use it. Us. And because of that, we received literally hundreds of thousands of dollars of equipment donated to our theater program simply because these folks knew and trusted Marty that he would find a home for this equipment, which to them was outdated and they would no longer use. We have those speakers upstairs. We have the sound system we have. We have the part of the lighting system we have. We have the microphones upstairs because of Marty. But you know, I don't think that his greatest gift had anything to do with being an audio engineer. I think his greatest spiritual gift was that he was someone who encouraged other people constantly and had a generosity of spirit that seemed to be unbounded. When he came on staff here, he helped to videotape these services. Ordinarily on a Sunday, he would be sitting down the hall in that room videotaping these services. But if any of you have had memorial services since he came on board, you would have received a videotape of that service along with the audio of that service. It would have been edited. It would have been put together professionally. That was not part of his job description. It was his spiritual gift. It was part of his calling. You see, God gives gifts to each of us and then puts us in a place where we can exercise those gifts, where we can grow into them, and then share them and use them. That's what St. Paul is writing about. That's what our welcome statement is trying to say. That's what Marty lived out in this congregation. And so our question really is, how do we help you, if you haven't already, identify your spiritual gifts? How do we help you to find a way to grow in those gifts so that they can be shared not just here, but across the community, across the world? But it's not just true for lay folks. You see, when I came here, you received my spiritual gifts, and you gave me a place where I could grow in them. And that's true for every single staff person who has worked here. You embraced us with our gifts and our limitations, and you were able to help us to cultivate those gifts so that they could be more and more and more a gift, not just to you, but beyond the walls of this church. Now, you're going to be receiving two new staff people. Brandon and Carol are coming, and you're going to have an opportunity to receive their gifts. Some of those gifts will be very different from ours. Some will be very similar. I heard Carol Cavendillen at conference this past week give what is one of the best sermons I have ever heard in my life. That is not hyperbole. It was based in Scripture. It took a little different angle on the Scripture. It allowed for the vulnerability of the preacher. It was for the particular group that she was speaking to. It wasn't just a generic sermon that she had used somewhere else. It was one of the best sermons I've ever heard in my life. She has a gift for that, and you're going to be receiving that. But she'll be bringing other gifts too. But like all of us, she'll have her limitations as well. Brandon will be bringing certain gifts. He'll have his limitations. And you get to use your gifts in those areas where we have limitations. And together we become the body of Christ. One of us an eye, one of us a finger, one of us a toe, one of us a knee. Doesn't matter, because you see, we are all a part of the body of Christ, none superior to the other. And God will use you and Carol and Brandon and all of those staff persons who will be staying. And God will use me as I travel and Chris as he travels. Because you see, God's love is just that powerful. God's love is just that broad. God's Spirit is the one that gives the gift, which is what makes every gift good. Thanks be to God. We affirm our faith mostly through what we do, but occasionally we use words as well. So I invite you to stand as you're able, turn to number 883 in your hymnal, and join me as we borrow some words to affirm our faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, comes in us and other by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us share signs with one another of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We are so glad that you are here. If you're a first-time guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. If you'll join us in Reed Hall after the service, we'd love to tell you more ways that you can be involved here at West End. If you'll find somebody with a blue name tag, those are our Andrew ministers, and they'll be able to really help you get to know you and tell you more about West End. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. On one side, you can put your prayer requests. Please note that if you would like for a pastor to call you, we'd be happy to touch base with you. Put that card in the offering plates in a few moments. Also, please record your attendance with us. There's a black pew pad in the center aisle. If you'll write down your name and contact information and note who you're worshiping with to continue to greet one another. Our deepest sympathies are extended to the family and friends of Marty Gilbert. He died on Monday, June the 12th, and a memorial service is scheduled for Tuesday, June the 27th at 3 p.m., with visitation preceding the services in Reed Hall beginning at 2 p.m. Prepare us to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and our spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, who empowers us to be your people, we rely upon your Spirit. We recognize our need for you and your guidance to be faithful people in the body of Christ and in this world. We are your hands and feet. We are the ones who minister to all creation. Help us to be those hands and feet with love as our mission that informs all other missions. Let us be agents of love and goodness before anything else. Let all know that we are Christians by our love. Our scripture this morning says, everyone is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Lord, help us to know our gifts, to use our gifts, and most of all, to recognize the giftedness in others so that we might work together for your coming kingdom. Holy Spirit, wake us up to what you're doing all around us, to your action in the important and the mundane moments in life. Make us aware of the needs in ourselves and the needs around us so that we might use our gifts to heal, teach, bring the gospel of peace, and most of all, to love. And now we join our voices to pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and power, and glory forever. Amen. Each of us is gifted beyond we could imagine. Let us return those gifts to God.
I just wanted to let you know that at the end of the last service, we said a prayer of blessing over a number of junior high missionaries from this congregation who are going to Heifer Ranch for the week, along with several of the adults who are going with them on that trip. They left at 11:30 today. So I would invite you to hold them in your prayers this week as they have been blessed by this congregation. Now they go forth to be a blessing to others. And now I send you forth to use those gifts God has placed in your life to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do, knowing that God, the source of all good gifts, Jesus Christ, God's gift to the world, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to grow in our gifts will be with you now and forever. Go in peace.